In this episode of the FinTech Files, I'm talking to Joe Wald, serial entrepreneur and intrapreneur. He's currently managing director of BMO Capital Markets, which he joined following the acquisition of Clearpool, where he was CEO. We're going to explore the world of algorithmic trading. Joe, welcome to the FinTech Files.
Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it. Looking forward to the conversation.
So we're talking about electronic and algorithmic trading. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that means for those that are not familiar with this or that are not fully familiar with this?
Sure. Happy to give the overview. Electronic trading and algorithmic trading is really the methodology in which institutional clients leverage their access to executing a trade. To put it simply, institutions tend to need to buy or sell large amounts of stock. The marketplace today is highly fragmented and trades in very small size. So average trade size on an exchange is probably 100 shares or less, and the average order size of an institution is 10,000 shares or so. Algorithmic trading is really a methodology and a system to be able to take that large order and be able to execute that by using different quantitative strategies or different benchmarks to be able to execute that in an efficient and positive way for that client to get a great outcome.
Wonderful. And just to clear something out of the way, when we talk about algorithmic trading, something that comes to mind is high-frequency trader. Is that relevant to what you do?
Sure. It's definitely relevant, but it's not what we do. And I think that there is pretty much a broad misconception in many cases when people hear about electronic trading and tend to lump it in with high-frequency trading. The two are obviously both leveraging the market structure and the electronic connectivity to the markets, but their goals are fundamentally different. So a high-frequency trader's objective is to buy and sell for a profit in a very short amount of time for a very short period. An institutional client leveraging an algorithmic management system or leveraging algorithms to execute, they're looking to buy or sell a large block of securities, and they're looking to make an investment in those or liquidate an investment. And they tend to hold on to those positions for a much longer period of time. So very different objectives and they both require really sophisticated tools to be able to achieve those objectives efficiently.
Understood. And then, so just to dive deeper into this liquidity issue. So if I look at the stock market and I look at my, you know, usual screens, it seems I see tight spreads. It seems that there's plenty of liquidity, but you're telling me this is only working for hundreds of shares and not tens of thousands. And why is that?
The market structure really has evolved quite a bit. The early days of electronic trading really revolved around just the exchanges providing that service of execution. And it was just very different. It was all manual. You had specialists on the floor of the NYSE. You had market makers making up the NASDAQ stock market. And as the market began to become more and more electronic and execution became automated, you started to see tremendous evolution in the market structure. So coming from a marketplace that had basically two exchanges where liquidity was centralized through electronic trading, what you saw was fragmentation. So today's market structure looks very different. You have 14 exchanges. You've got dozens of ATSs. You've got hundreds of order types. And this is just in the US market structure. You have similar structural fragmentation occurring across the globe, whether it's in Europe or in Canada. Markets have evolved to a place where you've got lots of different ways of accessing liquidity. And then you've got different market participants that have different needs in terms of their liquidity. Retail clients are buying and selling and investing in smaller size. Institutions are looking to do at much greater scale. So when you've got a fragmented market where you've got multiple places where you can execute, and you also have high frequency trading trying to get an edge based on what they're seeing in the marketplace, it becomes an incredible challenge for an institutional client to be able to execute their orders without signaling or creating a lot of market impact or creating information leakage. What we do on the BMO side and on the algorithmic side is really help them navigate that market structure by creating either quantitative strategies as well as liquidity sourcing strategies that are able to execute trades at scale without creating market dislocation or disruption and making sure that we can execute those very efficiently.
Great. And so We'll go back into that, into details, but how did you get into it? And can you tell us a bit more about Clearpool and your career before joining BMO?
Sure, yeah. Look, I was very fortunate. While I was still in college, I had an opportunity to work as an intern and eventually as a full-time position at a company called Datech. Datech was probably one of the earliest pioneers in electronic trading. It was a small company, but out of that business basically came the underlying technology for, I believe, the Nasdaq stock market today, and probably the underlying technologies for so many of the retail platforms. So Datech, eventually the Island ECN, was one of the first electronic ATSs that took hold after Reg NMS, and that ended up being acquired by Nasdaq. Happened to be a very fortunate right place, right time, and got a front row seat to the development of the modern market structure that we're in today at an incredibly close proximity to the people who were creating it. So that was great. From there, ventured out on my own as an entrepreneur in my first entrepreneurial venture, and that was co-founding Edgetrade. And that was, again, an early pioneer in electronic trading, one of the first platforms that was built to solve the institutional challenges of executing in a fragmented market. One of the first providers of an execution management system, an EMS, as well as the first one of the first providers of a suite of algorithms designed specifically for institutional clients.
All right. So now going back to BMO and the institutional clients you're serving, could you put a bit more flesh into that? So what type of clients are they? And what were they doing before using your service?
At BMO, we've got incredible institutional clients that we service, as well as nearly 130, 140 broker-dealers that leverage our platform. And I think from the broker-dealer perspective, I'll start there. What they were doing before Clearpool was white labeling or renting a set of strategies from other big providers that built these strategies. But what we did at Clearpool that was really unique was, for the first time, we actually designed the platform from the client's perspective into the system and into the marketplace by giving them a platform that allowed them to have full transparency of where the orders were going, where the orders were being executed, and even more importantly, or as importantly, full control over the execution protocol. That's completely unique to Clearpool. That was not something that they were able to do on any other platform prior to that. The platforms before were very rigid and locked down in terms of how they routed. And typically they routed their order flow, especially for broker-dealers, in a way that was best for them in terms of minimizing their costs and maximizing their rebates, but not really focused on the end execution quality as much. And what Clearpool allowed those broker-dealer clients to do for the first time was to be able to really take ownership of the process without having to build the entire technology stack. So now they can have a platform that they can use to differentiate themselves, to customize, to build out strategies, to then use the transparency to manage the impact of the order flow and understand what was going on, and really build a much tighter relationship with their clients, as well as have much better opportunity for a higher level of execution quality. So that was the big differentiator. On that end, BMO was one of our clients and was really fully embraced the power of what Clearpool can do. So they became basically a power user of the platform. And over time, we built that relationship. We saw that they really were very good at understanding how to leverage the market structure to get great outcomes for their clients. And we started to continue to grow that relationship. We moved the next kind of thing that we did with BMO was we built out a Canadian version of the AMS for them in an exclusive strategic partnership, which furthered the relationship. And basically from there, the conversations were really natural about what the next steps were going to be for them and how they strategically viewed electronic trading. And it just made sense for us to do the deal and to become part of BMO. So it was a really cool evolution, really great in terms of the outcome now. And at BMO today, I think what we've been doing has just been incredibly ambitious and incredibly successful in terms of leveraging that technology, continuing to service the broker-dealer clients, but now having a unique focus on direct to the institution with respect to creating new liquidity sourcing strategies and new execution strategies to be able to really differentiate what our product is over the rest of the marketplace.
And what a great example as well it is in terms of synergies between fintech firms and more established firms. And typically, it's hard for the fintechs to get into the market, go to market, gain clients, etc. Hard for the more established firms or banks to innovate, for example. And what you're describing is a very symbiotic process, which seemed to have gone very smoothly. But it's also a great template for collaboration between new entrants and incumbents.
I think you're right. I think entrepreneurs really, when they're building their business, are thinking about a million different things. One of the things that they focus on is kind of how do we continue to scale and grow our business? And you're always faced with that decision of do we continue to remain independent or do we enter into some type of strategic relationship or do we get acquired? And I think that this is a great case study in really having an incredibly strategic and thoughtful big institution that understood that the future is going to be electronic, but also understood that they want to have the expertise that build that technology in-house. And I think that that's why the deal had gone so smoothly. And that's why we've hit the ground running so quickly and have had just tremendous success. And it's only been a year since we've been part of the team at BMO. But I think it's a great lesson for entrepreneurs to understand how they could eventually think about how they would scale and strategically grow their business by looking at the partners that they have and seeing which ones are really forward-looking about what they want to do and if there are those appropriate synergies there.
And from an entrepreneur point of view, there must be as well, I can only imagine that there might be a lot of questions being asked at the time if you're more involved into one specific client, whether the time where you're saying, oh, are we too involved with BMO or would they replicate this in-house at some point? Did you go through this kind of existential doubt?
For us, I think understanding our client base and the relationship that we have with them and the trust that we've built really been the guiding principle of it. Ever since we joined BMO and now we've grown the broker-dealer business. So the legacy Clearpool business has only grown because our clients appreciate and understand that we're delivering them a platform for them to differentiate themselves. And I think that's the key. We've continued to upgrade that platform. I think we've had 6 or 7 new releases since we've joined BMO. So the pace of innovation has accelerated. And that's really given our clients just tremendous confidence that the goal is to continue to build technology that benefits them and it benefits the collective users of the platform, not just one particular group. We've had a lot of success doing that. And likewise, on the institutional side, what we've done is pretty incredible. We've invested tremendous resources to be able to deliver solutions to the institutional community. And I think that we've been able to do both very well and see us being able to do that at scale on a global basis. So right now we focus on the US and the Canadian markets. There's application for what we do on a global basis and looking forward to being able to provide the same type of solutions for institutional clients and broker dealers in other regions like Europe.
If we go into that solution, you mentioned transparency and control, and it would be interesting maybe to know a little bit the context in which this is happening, because there's a lot of regulatory issues. It's not just about price, is it?
I think ultimately what it's about is getting the best execution possible. Mm-hmm. And getting the best execution possible is really a very thoughtful and complicated process to be able to achieve that in a marketplace that, as we discussed, is very fragmented and trades in smaller size. The key to doing so is having transparency and control, right? So different venues provide different levels of execution quality. It's just a fact. They cater to different types of flow and some have more potential slippage than others. So our goal is to make sure that first and foremost, we have access to as many venues and as many order types as possible so that we have robust choice. Then we also have the tools from a transparency perspective to allow people to measure the results that they're getting at every single venue, at every single order type, so that they can build their execution protocol that fits what their objective is for their particular client. So those two go hand in hand. If you don't have the transparency to be able to see what's happening to your order flow, and if you don't have the control of being able to choose which venues and which order types make sense for the type of liquidity you're sourcing and the type of execution outcome you're looking for, then you really don't have a solution that's going to give you the optimal path to best execution.
And if we take an example based on this, and I'll pick an example from my favorite series, which is Billions, and there's a scene where Axe Capital, so here we'd have to replace them with an institutional client. But let's say they have 50,000 shares to sell, and the trick that the trader Mafi is going to do is going to call five brokers and try to flog 5 times 10,000 shares to each of them, and obviously it's not going to work. So let's say it's an institutional client and they're connected to the BMO Capital Market platform. How does it look from their point of view, and how do you take it from there?
Sure. So yeah, I guess an institutional client that's looking to trade electronically to execute a large block is leveraging a strategy, depending on what they're looking to do, potentially a liquidity sourcing strategy that's going to work the order based on a quantitative kind of arrival price kind of strategy. It's also going to look to see if there's any large blocks of liquidity that take place in some of the dark pools or some of the venues that are at midpoint. So I think the way that the liquidity sourcing strategy works from our perspective is now we've got this order. We understand the client's objective. They've chosen a strategy of ours that they're going to use. And it's our job to make sure that the strategy performs optimally and that we're picking the right venues and the right order types and watching what's happening in the marketplace really closely to make sure that, you know, we're executing as best we can and ultimately delivering a great outcome for the client.
So they basically, once they reach that point, you handle it for them from start to finish.
Yeah, it's really a complete solution. And all the way through, they're either watching the execution happen and seeing the metrics happen in real time to make sure that everything is working the way that they intend it to, or a coverage person on our team has access to the tools that show them completely every action the algorithm is taking and all of the impact of the actions of the strategy. So we've got a real-time view into what's taking place in the market structure and are able to ensure that things are going as we expected. And if not, we're able to communicate that. And if they're going really well, we're able to communicate that too. So it's really important to have the entire kind of technology, but service that goes along with it to really end up in the right place. And to do that, you have to have the right tools to be able to do that, which are, again, you know, part of what makes us so unique is having that real-time view into the market structure and building the platform in a way that has that incredible transparency.
Now that we understand how it works, can you tell us a little bit how, what you've built behind the scenes? What did you have to create in terms of technology at ClearPool and what you keep building now?
Yeah, we've pretty much had to create everything from the ground up in terms of building the technology stack from the algorithmic perspective, the order management aspect of it as well. When you're trying to do things that don't exist or that are innovative, you don't have much of a choice other than to build it yourself. And that's what we've done with the entire algorithmic stack, as well as the front end kind of portal to be able to view everything in that real time. One of the advantages of starting a company five or six, seven years ago was the fact that you had all of this new computing power from the cloud and this ability to do things in a much more scalable and faster way. So leveraging the latest technology that's really come out of the entire tech evolution and tech buildup over the last few years has given us a significant edge. A lot of the older platforms out there are built on, you know, legacy technology that just don't have the ability to do some of the things that we've done, especially around the visualization and around the storage of data in the way that we can. Definitely an advantage to be able to start with a clean slate, and also hindsight being 2020 and having built out a platform like this before. And our CTO at ClearPool, one of the co-founders and also the co-head of electronic trading with me at BMO, Ray Ross, having built these platforms before gave us a huge advantage to understanding what we wanted to do next. And I think that's served us incredibly well.
And that's something you mentioned. It's something that you keep building. What kind of things prompt you to keep iterating.
The market's always evolving, right? In terms of venues, in terms of order types, in terms of regulatory mandates, there's always opportunity to continue to evolve the platform. And I think that's part of what makes it so exciting is that the pace of innovation is really high and the opportunity to continue to differentiate yourself and separate yourself from the pack is always present. So for us, that keeps us up, gets us excited to get up every morning is knowing that we have the ability to continue to improve the platform. And even though, you know, we may be ahead or have things that we think are great, there's always going to be an opportunity to continue to evolve. So it's a process that continues. We've got the luxury of having an incredible tech stack and an incredible tech team that understand how to rapidly develop and deploy technology because of the platform that we've built. And knowing that going in, but that's just one of the inherent advantages that we have is that we've built a platform that appreciates that change is inevitable and it's going to happen quickly. So we need to have the most nimble platform to be able to respond to that change and to be able to be proactive about it.
And before we conclude, what would you say is your main marketing approach or main marketing challenges?
For us, I think we relish the challenge of being able to get out in front of clients. I think one of the things that has been incredible since we've become part of BMO has been the access to client base and to deep relationships that they've built over dozens of years, if not longer. So I think being able to scale and have those relationships to be able to show them what we do has been fantastic. So that's a big part of our success now is marrying the synergies that we have together. But I think the collaborative approach has really been the key, understanding that each client is different. They have different objectives. Being able to collaborate with them on what best execution means to them, then to be able to quickly have a solution for them, and then to be able to watch and measure how that solution is performing and to be able to iterate. I think those are all steps that are critical in really having tremendous success. And that's something that we do every single day. And that's really our focus. Marketing for us is about building trust with our clients and demonstrating to them what our capabilities are and how unique we are and how differentiated we are as an offering. And, you know, there's also a lot that's happening from a regulatory standpoint. We've been really vocal advocates for transparency and for competition in the marketplace. Some of the things that we do align really well with what our clients want to see the market structure evolve into. So, for example, a new rule that just came out over the last year was Rule 606, which mandated kind of a foundation for transparency and a real leveling of the playing field where brokers have to now disclose, if asked, where they route orders, not just where they were executed. We were very vocal advocates of that rule because we believe that transparency for everyone is a positive thing and it only brings the marketplace up. But there's also a new rule that just came into effect on market data and really increasing competition and what is the new definition of kind of core market data. We were very vocal about that. And all of these really just align with what our clients want to see, which is a more fair, competitive, and transparent market. We're highly engaged in those market structure debates and regulatory impact of making the markets a better, fairer, more transparent place.
And I think your collaborative approach is very inspiring to other entrepreneurs, in particular in the fintech and B2B fintech space. Before we conclude, may I ask, as a serial entrepreneur, what advice would you give to fintech founders?
The fintech founders, I think being passionate about what you do and really understanding the difference that you're trying to make is really important. You've got to stick with what you're doing and believe in yourself and your team. The most important thing that you can do really is to have great partners and great clients and really work with them in a collaborative way. I think what we've seen for us is it's not unique in terms of where you see success in other financial technology endeavors, other technology endeavors, and quite frankly, just other businesses. Really understanding the problem, understanding what you're trying to solve and how you're going to make a difference is important. Being very vocal about that and not really having much care about what others have to say with respect to, hey, it was always done this way. You've just got to be able to explain why there's a better way and how you're going to do that and how that's going to help them. So for me, I think the biggest thing that I would say to any entrepreneur is really understand the win-win. How do you win, and how do the people you're working for and servicing win? If you've got a good win-win, that's half the battle in terms of getting to your objective of success.
Thank you so much, Joe, for sharing your story and helping us understand this technology and the current state of training for institutional clients. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I really do appreciate it. This was great. Thanks.
Thanks for listening, and thank you to our guests who make this possible. Subscribe to never miss an episode. As this is a new broadcast, if you could give us a 5-star review on iTunes and your favorite podcast player, that would be great. Let's work together to accelerate fintech towards the 2030s.